Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info.
Again, especially if you're a grandparent and you've been vaccinated, there are people who are dying to hug other people, and vaccinated people can hug, they can gather indoors without masks. The big word in the U.S. is the CDC, three dreaded letters, three cursed letters in many households, being praised, at least temporarily, for releasing their first guidance for fully vaccinated people on Monday. Hey, everybody. How was your weekend? I hope that you started yourself into a great week. It feels like it's going to be a really, really good week to me. I am only going on my intuition, so take it for what it's worth. But I think that is great news. It is, because you've got all these shots that are happening. You got bigger and more distribution centers, and the number of people who can get vaccinated, I mean, the whole population in the U.S., we're saying now, not were, but the CDC is saying, and the people in the know in the White House task force, that this can be all the way through by May, even a little bit sooner than that. I think they're being a little bit cautious. So now there are people that have had their two shots, a lot of them in that phase one, depending on the state, and especially older people. Because, listen, no matter what you feel about the vaccine or the situation that we're in, this has been a crazy year, and it's been a full year when you start with March of 2020 to where we are now. And you really haven't been able to hug, right? It's the whole thing with the elbow bumping and the social distancing. And so this is a very big deal when you have the numbers increasing, you know, 25%, almost 29% getting vaccinated. And it only pertains to the people getting vaccinated, but if you are fully vaccinated, you can be around people who aren't. I mean, you know, do you want to open up your party to 1,000 of your backyard to 1,000 of your best friends? Probably not. But the idea that now, you know, after all of the delays, all of the craziness, all of the waiting and just wanting this to just go away, the CDC Director Rochelle Walensky said at a White House COVID-19 press briefing on Monday morning, fully vaccinated people can visit with other fully vaccinated people indoors without wearing a mask or physical distancing. But did say, hey, it's important for vaccinated people to keep wearing a well-fitting mask in other settings. So if you are listening to me and you got Moderna or Pfizer's two-dose vaccines, they say it takes about 2 weeks after the second shot to be considered fully vaccinated. J&J, Johnson & Johnson's new one-dose vaccine, is considered full after 2 weeks after that single shot. So what's the perks for those who rolled up their sleeves? I already said one of them. Fully vaccinated people, boom, indoors. Yahtzee is back. Also indoors with unvaccinated people from a single household who are at low risk. So that can happen. If exposed to someone with COVID-19, vaccinated people don't need to test or quarantine if they remain asymptomatic. So still some precautions, right? But it does mean, like I said, that there are hugs to come to children that haven't seen their grandparents in a long time, right? Like in a year, maybe in some cases. So that is super, super good news. Dinner parties for people getting vaccinated, and it's happening more and more. So this is going to increase the numbers who are going to be able to do it. And every adult by the end of May should have, you know, have the availability of getting a vaccine. And of course, it's, you know this, right? It's free to everybody. No insurance card, all that other stuff. It's not about that. That's covered. Yeah, we're in a pandemic. It's covered, people. But as for traveling, there are traveling restrictions for vaccinated people. That hasn't really changed. They're still trying to figure that out. You know, for not living close by, not saying you can't necessarily get on a plane, but they are, I think their concern is everything kicking open too wide, and then, you know, what would that mean? And there's all this concern about the variants and all of that, you know, if would we be on the brink of another surge because of the variant and that kind of stuff and the maskless parties and whatnot. So I think it is some excellent news, let's put it that way, because people miss it. They miss that connection, and staying inside and having cabin fever and kids on top of kids on top of family members who are trying to work because they work from home, or they lost a job but they luckily got a job where they then work from home. Yeah, I mean, you know, we don't have to go through all the possible scenarios of what you could be living with or how you could be living. But it's exciting to see this ray of hope. Let's put it that way. There is definitely a ray of hope. Now let's get to the juicy down and dirty. Andrew Cuomo, the governor of New York, is not going to resign, but he may be forced out. Don't forget about him, but put them aside for a second, the allegations of five women and how he approached them, young women. This pledge to keep battling COVID-19 while his administration grossly underreported nursing home deaths, for what purpose, after he was absolutely frothing at the mouth about other states and the feds for obscuring information that put Americans at risk during the pandemic. I mean, he became the superstar. I'm sure at one point I probably praised him for being transparent. Whoops, he wasn't so transparent. There was an investigation released in January by the New York Attorney General's office that found COVID-19 deaths of nursing homes, and you've, I'm sure, heard the story, nursing home residents in the state may have been undercounted by as much as 50%. 50%. That is not good, my friends. So what does that mean? It means that if you look at the documents and you look at some of the interviews, the New York Times is pushing that out there, the Wall Street Journal's been doing some of that investigating. Instead of the 6,200 nursing home residents dying, it's like 10,000 who were residents of the homes and either died there or died at a hospital. And so this is the guy, again, who was calling other people out, and it's not good, the misleadingness of the nursing home deaths. Cuomo said New York is 46th lowest out of 50 states in terms of percentage of nursing home deaths caused by COVID-19. He said it numerous times during the pandemic to defend the state's way of handling COVID-19 and long-term facilities. Ay, 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 ay. I think Cuomo is really running out of chips in the game to call in, so to speak. Stay with us.
The stress levels of Americans may be at an all-time high. From education to business to basic needs to politics, the 2020 pandemic-related stressors are pushing many of us to near breaking point. That's why you should consider the stress and pain-relieving products from sunny-bay.com, like our lavender neck wraps and pads infused with premium Washington lavender buds. They relieve tension and relax with a soothing scent of lavender. And lifestyle expert Jennifer Bonner recommends products from Sunny Bay.
Sunny Bay's hands-free neck wraps should should be your go-to pain relief solution.
Give gifts to family and friends that relieve stress and pain. Give love and care by giving the best. Give pillows, neck wraps, and body wraps from sunny-bay.com, a Biomed DB design company. Just click sunny-bay.com. That's sunny-bay.com.
The following is a paid announcement. The advertiser was paid a marketing fee for a digital campaign. Please make sure to review our disclaimer on our report page.
The new year is here, and the time is now to capitalize on the EV stocks boom in the U.S. markets. The red-hot EV sector is on fire with no signs of slowing down. Here's just one example of what you can get with the information delivery system from Metals Industry Report. The electronic vehicles market could see a compounded annual growth rate of around 21.1% through 2026, turning into a multi-trillion dollar industry. Text Tech to 48542 for more info on the EV market and to set your investment research strategy to hyper growth mode now with your free subscription to the Metals Industry Report. If you're interested in our hip list of the hottest stocks to look at in 2021, then text the word tech to 48542. Text now to get your free subscription from Metals Industry Report. We deliver the data directly to your mobile device so you can make decisions as market conditions change. Text the word tech to 48542. Text tech to 48542.
DrinkSuperTea.com. Powdy Arco Tea helps regenerate new cells. Everything from the cells in our skin to the cells in our organs so they function properly. Great for healthy people and can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a disease. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.
As the coronavirus crisis continues, I've said it before, I'll say it again, now's not the time to retreat, panic, or stress out. Instead, refocus, reimagine, and reinvent. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary, the whole focus is on overcoming adversity. I share the secrets of some of the most accomplished people on the planet and how it applies to you. I agree with George Eliot, who famously said, it's never too late to be who you might have been. Pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, on Amazon.com.
I'm happy to announce that I have a brand new single that's just been released in Britain. And it's a song I'm very proud of because it was the first song I ever wrote that became a hit. It was my first number one. And the United Nations has declared 1975 to be International Women's Year. And they have chosen this song as their theme.
I think you know the one I mean.
Numbers too big to ignore, and I know too much to go back and pretend, 'cause I've heard it all before, and I've been down there on the floor, and no one's ever gonna keep me down again. Oh yeah, I am wise, but it's wisdom for the pain. Yes, I've paid the price.
Yes. Get that, International Women's Day. So celebrating across the globe, not just in the United States, celebrating the social, economic, cultural, political achievements of women, as we do when we air her story, the feature that we do, and we'll get back to doing more of that here on this show, but you can catch it on Amazon's Alexa just by going to the skills section, and that feature features women that do exactly what we're talking about on International Women's Day, and we've done over 300 of them, and I'm very proud of the work that Nathan Reeder and I have done on those, and even got recognized for a communications award in 2020, but it wasn't about the award, it was about highlighting some amazing women. I mean, just badasses that you didn't know about, like, you know, women that were the first postmaster in Baltimore. And what does the first postmaster do? Well, the first postmaster was the first woman to be in that position, but also was the woman, first person to take the risk and put the publish, print the Declaration of Independence with all of the signers on the Declaration of Independence, because that had not been done before, and so there was some risk attached to that. Eventually, that led to her firing, but pretty amazing to be able to do those and do those stories. So this is one of those moments where, yeah, you know, you talk about what's happening, you talk about, the contributions, and the idea was to raise the level, raise the awareness, and who doesn't like that, right? There's days for everything, and this is a good, happy day to celebrate what people have accomplished, what women have accomplished, and the men who've lifted them up and all of that. And then there is this tweet from Burger King UK. Burger King UK tweeted out something that, I don't know, just didn't go over well. And I can sort of see why. Because the tweet was, "Women belong in the kitchen." There was swift reaction to that. Burger King belongs in a trash can. That was one thing I saw. The best time to delete this post was immediately after posting it. The second best time is now. Even my favorite reporter in the whole world, Jeannie Moose, did a funny feature on it on CNN. When I was wanting to be a news anchor, so I watched her. So only 20% of chefs are women. And we're on a mission to change the gender ratio in the restaurant industry was something that was tweeted out by empowering female employees with the opportunity to pursue a culinary career. And I think Burger King UK just didn't realize what they were tweeting out. Women belong in the kitchen. You know, it's like when you say something, it doesn't always work out in a tweet, or when you write something in an email and it comes across mangled and awkward and the complete wrong meaning. It was like one of those moments. The have it your way moment just didn't translate. I even liked Burger King always thinks they can have it their way. Well, forget about that. You can't have it. Not today. So it was just funny. And it was, to me, the mic drop moment. Women belong in the kitchen. Whoops. except for that, you know what? With some of the publicity, a lot of the questioning, bad publicity, I don't know. And they said it was their mistake to not include the full explanation in their tweet. But I do think when you see the king and the crown and you keep hearing about Burger King, it makes people hungry, and maybe there was a mini boycott of Burger King on International Women's Day, but maybe some did go and get it. I liked my favorite tweet was from Washington Post, the Washington Post TikTok guy. Bad day for the royal family, especially the Burger King. Ba-dum-bump. There's a mic drop for you. That's a great response to that tweet. But as I said, it was International Women's Day on March 8th, and it's a big deal. There's a big observance of it, and normally when the world is open, there are all kinds of, I think, interesting conferences, etc., that are going on, and there were certainly some of those. A couple of quick headers before we dive into our next segment. The stimulus, yes, it's true, has gone through the Senate. Now it has one more go around in the House. And then the president signs it. And then the almost $2 trillion COVID-19 relief package becomes official. And checks start to roll. They say like almost 90% of people qualify. What does that tell you? And how it's dispersed, I would imagine it's going to be direct deposit if you've had that before, just like the last round of payments. But boy, in the middle of tax season, the three I think, the three most dreaded letters, IRS, having to do that. And I wonder if that's going to slow down the distribution. Do you push this taxes aside for a second and say, oh, people need money, so let's focus on that? I'm kind of betting that that's not necessarily what's going to happen. So the legislation calls for the people with the adjusted gross income of, you know, $75,000 or less, and a couple could end up getting more than $5,700, depending on how many kids, et cetera. But then you've got other things that will happen, like the extension of the unemployment, which would get the extra $300 a week. So more than, what was it, 160 million payouts totaling $270 billion were distributed in the first round of coronavirus relief payments last spring. More than 147 million, totaling 142 billion, were delivered during the second allotment that was in December, and then $100 million of second round payments were distributed through direct deposits. So there will be some people who get that much needed relief, even if that bill didn't have everything people wanted or had things people did not want to see. Hey, coming up at the tail end of the hour, we're going to go into the man cave, and guess what? There's a quarterback for a very popular or unpopular team, depending on how you feel about America's team. There's the hint that has a deal. Ooh, boy, did that take some time. So we'll talk about that. How much is it? How much were the dollars, and what does it mean, and what does that mean for other teams? You know, when the bar keeps going higher and higher and higher, that means the elite quarterbacks, I guess is what I'll say, will get more and more and more every year. Where does it top out? Especially when you look at, you know, with stadiums being at hardly any capacity, but did have some people this year. There was lots of revenue that was lost in the past year. There's no question about that. Although, don't cry too hard for the people who own sports teams. I think they will find a way. They're going to find a way to bounce back. Let's put it that way, right? Mm-hmm. And it's underway, the trial of the former officer charged in the George Floyd death. Derek Chauvin, his trial is underway. And I'll tell you, the jury selection happened on Monday. And remember, this former Minneapolis police officer is facing murder charges in Floyd's death. And I think the city, from what I understand and what I've been reading, is a little nervous about the spreading of misinformation that could lead to uprisings and violence and that kind of stuff. And I hope that does not happen this time around. Music means I'm going to hop over to the other side, and I will meet you there.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News with Dan Naraki. The CDC has released its guidelines for nearly 31 million Americans who have been fully vaccinated against COVID-19. One of those recommendations would allow those who are fully vaccinated to meet with unvaccinated people who are at low risk of severe illness without masks or social distancing. Dr. Richard Besser says that could help encourage more people to get the shot. The former acting director of the CDC tells ABC News it would be a welcome step towards normalcy.
So if it's an individual who's at low risk of having serious illness, the CDC is saying you can be together. And so that opens the door for grandparents to meet with their children and their grandchildren and have that kind of contact. And I know for a lot of people, just that movement towards some semblance of normalcy will be a great emotional release. And I hope for some people who've been on the fence about getting vaccinated, it will encourage more people to do so.
This is USA Radio News. A Michigan high school student was hospitalized after accidentally detonating a homemade explosive Monday morning inside a classroom at Newaygo High School in West Central Michigan. The 16-year-old was hospitalized with moderate to severe injuries. Four classmates were also hospitalized with minor injuries. Police say they don't believe the student had any ill intent in bringing the explosive into class, nor was there any intent to detonate it. And the University of Kansas and head football coach Les Miles have agreed to part ways. The move comes following the release of a report alleging inappropriate conduct towards female students during his time at LSU. In a Monday evening statement, Kansas Athletic Director Jeff Long said he was disappointed for the school and everyone involved with the football program. The report released last week detailed an investigation conducted at LSU in 2013, accusing Miles of inappropriate behavior with female students. Miles has denied any inappropriate relations with the students, saying he was mentoring young women at the school. This is USA Radio News.
The following is a paid announcement. The advertiser was paid a marketing fee for a digital campaign. Please make sure to review our disclaimer on our report page.
If you've been following the markets, then you know how huge the automation markets are becoming. Robotics, autonomous cars, and enterprise automation services are revolutionizing entire industries. The bottom line is that automation is powering the future. And you can find out which companies are leading the charge with your free subscription to AvidBiotech.Trends when you text the word trend to 48542. We've identified a cutting-edge company that's leading the industry in creating the next generation of robotics and automation. Get this cutting-edge intelligence delivered directly to your mobile device when you text the word TREND to 48542. Get ahead of the curve on robotics and automation industry leaders with your free research from Biotech Stock Trends. Text the word TREND to 48542. Text TREND to 48542. Text the word TREND to 48542.
Joins us, and she's written a book called Amy's Restoration, and it's really a book with life lessons in it, a novel that pulls you in, and it makes sense because of what we talked about off the air and things that she's dealt with in her life, like all of us, and you can feel it in this novel. Audrey, thanks so much for popping on.
Oh, thank you. This is great. Thank you so much.
So tell me what led you to write this novel. Did you ever think in your life that you would write a novel?
I didn't. It wasn't until my four children are teenagers, and the oldest was talking about going into the military, and they're 2 years apart, and I could see the empty nester thing coming up, and I thought, what am I going to do with the rest of my life? You know, as a mom, you pour your life into your children. I homeschooled them, and I just felt impressed by the Lord that it was time to sit down and write. I had stories brewing in my head, and I just sat and I started writing.
So you start writing, and you come up with a couple of great characters that have things that they have to deal with in their lives, a traumatic marriage, what happens when two people are introduced. Tell us about Amy. Tell us about the main character.
Amy herself has made a bad choice. She entered into a marriage that her parents didn't agree with. And what happened from that was an abusive marriage and a product of it. The only good thing that she saw out of it was her son. And, of course, it was a very short marriage, unfortunately. And she became one of what I call the walking wounded. There's so many of us out there like that. We've experienced wounding, whether physical, verbal, or just by being betrayed by a person, hurt by a person, lied by a person. And there's a lot of people out there like that, like Amy, my character, who are just in this darkness and in this sad place where they just can't seem to get out of that. They're spinning out of control, and she just kind of just enveloped herself in this bitterness, this unforgiveness, and she just couldn't see her way clear to do anything but just kind of stay stuck.
And she is stuck, and forgiveness is a hard thing to do, right? And that's an interesting thing to tackle in your book.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I don't care who you are. If you live life at all, you are going to be struggling with that, with unforgiveness. I mean, and so it comes down to whether you are going to choose life and choose to make a difference and just work beyond that. But again, I know my own personal experience, especially deep wounding, it takes time. And it takes a lot of prayer. It takes like peeling an onion. You have layers that you don't even realize, and you think you've dealt with it, and suddenly there's something more that you didn't see once you get past closure with a certain aspect of that woundedness that, okay, I've forgiven him. And then, you know, something is said, even from someone else that you don't even know, that a topic comes up and you realize that anger rises up in you again, and you want to take that on again. It's like, oh my goodness, I thought I dealt with this. And this is where my character Amy McCormick is at. She has these layers that have to be removed to be able to trust again and to be able to love again.
Yeah, and so what does she do to be able to love again?
She is befriended by a woman who she meets in a hardware store who has a son the same age as her son. And she's just a real congenial woman. Her name is Jane. And she kind of takes her under her wing and just befriends her, loves on her. You know, they just get really connected. And so she invites her to a church picnic. And from there, Amy kind of gets interested. Amy grew up in a Christian family, but she turned away from everything in her woundedness and just kind of hid away and didn't want a relationship with practically anyone, even though that she can be a kind person. But again, she was so steeped in that bitterness and unforgiveness, she just kind of sat in a dark place. And so she eventually, with this relationship with the family, she realized that she really would be interested in going back to church. And so over time and the sermons that she listened to, the Word of God, she realized that she was the one who left the Lord and that he wanted to make her complete and whole again. He wanted to heal her.
So these things happen to her. You talk about, I love that thing that you said, walking wounded, because I use that same expression, that there's so many people that are walking around and they're just absolutely wounded. What do? You know, you're an empty nester. Do you call your kids and say, hey, guess what? Mom's written a novel and I'm getting it published. What did they say when you told them you wrote a book?
Oh, they were definitely excited. They were kind of surprised, too. As I said, well, if nothing else, it's good therapy, you know, for me, because it's just me and my husband. I kind of started before they left, and this particular story, I can't tell you. I think I lost it in my computer. Oh, it was written a number of years ago, but my computer crashed a couple times. So then it was like I couldn't recover it.
Uh-huh.
So because we don't have the technology back then when I started. So it was just a process, and since then I've written a few more books and self-published them. So it's just been a real interesting journey, a fun journey for me. And also, I put myself in the place of these characters. It's been a healing for me. Even writing this book about Amy, like I said, we've all been there. We've all had this woundedness, and then you start thinking about some things in the past, your own past that you haven't dealt with. And so it helps you to kind of have that front and center and just pray about it and give it over to the Lord and release that and choose life and choose blessings. That's what the Lord wants for us. You know, we don't have to stay stuck. We can move forward.
Oh, I so agree with that. You don't have to stay stuck. Absolutely. Is that what you hope when people read your novel? I mean, you want them to get lost in the story, of course, but in telling the story, there's all these lessons along the way. Do you hope that a lot of what we've talked about people pick up?
Absolutely. I want them to see that the love of the Lord that he has for them. He wants that restoration for them, and he wants to give them a hope and a future like they couldn't ever imagine. And just like my character, Amy, once she actually realized that and came out of that dark place, everything looked different. Everything felt different. I mean, she felt younger. She felt alive again. And that's what I want my readers to take away from this, that, hey, you can do this. There's hope for you. You don't have to stay stuck and you're hurt. You can just move forward and go to a better place in your life and experience that joy.
I like that, experience that joy. So, as you said, it's been a fun journey for you. Amy's Restoration, Audrey Marr, of course, you can pick it up on Amazon. What's next? I can't imagine you're not going to be writing some more.
I do have a Bozeman series that I'm presently putting into production, so it'll be released on Amazon eventually this year.
A Bozeman series, ooh. All right, so
yes,
talk in Montana.
Yes.
Right.
Correct.
Yeah. I've been to Bozeman. It's a great place for people listening. What's it like to live in Montana?
Oh, well, I love Montana. I love the Rocky Mountains, hence I live in Kalispell, Montana, where we see the Rockies every day. And Bozeman itself is this absolutely gorgeous place. We lived there for 6 months before we moved back into northwest Montana area. But it's a college town, and the series is based there in Bozeman, and particularly a lot to do with a ranch there, and which I've personally wish I knew these people because I'd love to visit them. so I just created a fun ranch, you know, great people. So, I'm excited about this series.
Right. See, because it's something that you see every day. So then your imagination kicks in, or you've seen it, you've gone by it, and you start to conjure up what's really behind that, which I think is really fascinating. That means you have an active imagination.
Oh yes, I've always been a daydreamer, trust me. I mean, I've always, any author will tell you that we've always loved to write, you know, in grade school and then in high school when you get to write essays, I was excited. You got to do those term papers and research and write about it. I was excited and people would, you know, the classmates would groan and moan. It's like, oh, I'm ready.
I love that.
So then I journaled for years. I mean, 20, 25 years I journaled in my early years of marriage on. And from there, you know, just kind of, well, by the time you get to my maturity, you have a lot of life experiences to draw from. So I put a lot, you know, sprinkle through my books, my stories, and it, I just have a great time creating my stories.
That's the way to do it, and we can't wait to see what comes up next as you were telling us about Bozeman and all that. But Amy's Restoration, you can get this novel on Amazon. Audrey, thanks so much for coming on. It was a delight talking to you.
Thank you. It was fun. I just really enjoyed it. Thank you so much, Kate.
Thank you. As the coronavirus crisis continues, I've said it before, I'll say it again, now's not the time to retreat, panic, or stress out. Instead, refocus, reimagine, and reinvent. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary, the whole focus is on overcoming adversity. I share the secrets of some of the most accomplished people on the planet and how it applies to you. I agree with George Eliot, who famously said, it's never too late to be who you might have been. Pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, on Amazon.com.
DrinkSuperTea.com. Powdy Arco Tea builds red corpuscles in our blood, which carries oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate. Our immune system needs oxygen to develop. And cancer dies in oxygen. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.
Power grid failures and natural disasters, they happen too often now. Will financial collapse be next? What kind of emergency plan do you have for the next sudden food shortage? If you don't, it's time to prepare. At MyPatriotSupply.com, we make it easy for you. Our emergency food storage kits stay fresh for up to 25 years. They ship fast and discreetly to your door. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com to prepare. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Hey everybody, if you've ever thought about heirloom beans as a storable survival food, I've got great news. In fact, I'll bet it's the best news you've heard in a while. Here's the thing, we've just received a fresh batch of gourmet heirloom beans, survival soup beans. These beans are gorgeous, highly nutritious, and above all, with no hesitation whatsoever, the best tasting beans in the entire world. The best part? We've dropped the price by 33% this week for listeners who know higher food prices are coming and want an inflation hedge you can actually eat if you want to. Gets even better. With your permission and with the high regard for your health and well-being, I also want to send you 2 pounds of what we think is the single most underrated superfood in the world, period. Go to soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com, and discover the real reason we're giving this unusual superfood away. At soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
And finally, we open up the man cave, a.k.a. woman cave. Because, hey, I'm here, right? And there's a ton to talk about, like spring training, like a huge NFL contract for a Dallas Cowboy. But let's start with spring training, so I'll just tease you. Who do you think the Cowboys have been toying with salary and all the conversations have been about? I'll give you a hint. It's always the glue of the team, in my opinion. So think about that for a few minutes, guys, okay? Think about that. Let's talk about spring training. Interesting. Chicago is going to allow 20% capacity for opening day. Woohoo! Get the hot dogs ready. Get the bleachers. Oh, nothing like being a bleacher creature. I'm serious. I've been to games at Wrigley Field just for the history of it and because I do like Chicago and I've spoken there several times. You've probably, if you've listened to the show at all, you've heard me broadcast from Chicago. But they're lifting some coronavirus restrictions in time for opening day, so that allows that there's going to be some fans at Wrigley Field. And the mayor, Lori Lightfoot, took some big strides, saying that April 1st is opening day for the Cubs. The home opener for the White Sox is April 8th, because there are Sox fans in that city. My cousin's a Sox fan. I always say I want to go to the Cubs game. Cubs, I'm a Sox fan. Anyway, So 20% for each venue with at least 6 feet in between people at the park. How do you measure all that out? I mean, I know you can measure it out in your head. Anyway, Wrigley is the oldest ballpark in the National League, so attendance would be 8,274 fans. I figured that out on my own. Not really. They told me the number. The Cubs reported no positive COVID-19 tests among their players in the 2020 season. Whew, so that's good. So at Guaranteed Rate Field, which is the Chicago White Sox, capacity will be capped at 8,122 fans. This is what's interesting. The Chicago teams doing this probably means we're going to see more teams announce that they're doing the same thing. And, you know, California's decision Friday was to allow baseball stadiums and other outdoor venues to admit fans. At least 25 of MLB's 30 teams have already said, look, we're going to go in this direction. We're going to allow fans in time for opening day. So according to the Wall Street Journal, the numbers journal, because they always have numbers, right? About 40% of annual revenue for baseball teams is derived from the in-stadium experience. Of course, I covered baseball. I mean, it's, you know, I'm a content junkie, and definitely I have a news background and a political, business, etc. background. But, of course, the sports experience, that's all in my book, Deal Your Own Destiny. And doing the Rangers post-game and traveling the one time they made the playoffs when I was there, it was so interesting, and those are the kind of conversations I had about revenue and playoff revenue and all of that. So naturally, in stadium, because you're selling things in the stadium as well. It's not just the seats; it's so much more than that. But I don't have to tell this smart crowd about that. You get it, which is great because it means some people will be able to get some of their jobs back too by going to the stadium. Boy, do we miss it, right? Los Angeles Dodgers' Trevor Bauer pitched a shutout inning versus San Diego with, ready for this? Why do you care? One eye closed. I thought that wasn't true, so I texted one of my pals that's in Glendale, Arizona, covering him, and he did. He, there's a big rivalry between the Dodgers and the Padres, so he navigated, that's a good way to say it, he felt his way through the first inning against the Padres on Saturday by pitching mostly with his right eye closed. You know, I can kind of relate, Trevor. I felt like something was going on with my one eye, and I have contacts. I used to have, like, Wonder Woman vision, but you know how you deny that, I'm starting to have this thing where I can't see quite as good as I used to see. So I have contacts, and I'm so bad with that pulling them out of your eye thing that I thought I had a contact that was just somehow wasn't right, and I needed to get it out, and I kept futzing with it. So I didn't pull a Bauer where, I mean, I did in the sense that I just kept going doing what I was doing for days on end, and then I had to have the ophthalmologist remove the contact from one eye. Like, she was laughing the whole time. And the other eye, she said, you don't have a contact in it. So I like thought I had this contact that was making me have blurred vision. Anyway, who cares about that? Sidebar. So Bauer said he routinely keeps one eye closed in bullpen sessions. So while playing long toss and facing hitters on the offseason, he said he likes to make himself uncomfortable. That's why he does it. And he throws different stuff and tells them to do that, and he tries to find a solution for it. So how interesting is that, just navigating that way? So, you know, three scoreless innings. Good for him. Dave Roberts has to love that, right? And that's what he does. And Roberts said that's how he recalibrates his command. Ooh, I'm going to look at him differently now. All right, Dak Prescott, you can look at him differently. All the rumors about, Russell might come from Seattle, and that's one of his four teams and all that other sort of stuff. Forget about that. It's not about that at all. Russell Wilson is not coming. Dak Prescott reached a four-year, $160 million deal, which seems like nothing in some ways compared to some other quarterbacks that we know. But what's interesting, it's a $126 million guarantee. The deal is technically for 6 years, but voids to four. So to help Dallas against the salary cap, it can be worth up to $164 million, basically. So the signing bonus is $66 million. That my friends, is a record. It is the highest in NFL history, with a record $75 million due in year one. The first 3 years of the deal averaged $42 million per year. Wow. You know, they announced they did a contract with him, but they didn't disclose the terms. The Cowboys will place the franchise tag on Prescott on Tuesday's procedural thing, and then the news conference and all that other kind of stuff. But how about that? So his salary cap number, because it's all about keeping the salary cap, you all get that, will be $22.2 million instead of $37.7 that would have come with along with the franchise tag. So it's a saving of like $15.5 million. And again, that's just a bunch of gobbledygook numbers, but they're numbers that you care about when you're trying to get into the cap. Prescott's going to be 28 in July. He's coming off a compound fracture, a dislocation of his right ankle. Remember, he did that in week 5 against the New York Giants, if you're paying attention to football at all. But I think it's what's interesting is is this negotiation, and that they finally got it done. And there was, you know, talk of some other things that could have happened, and we knew that wasn't going to happen. You knew they were going to deal with him. Now, here's the question. Can Dak Prescott, for all of you football fans, and for those of you who aren't, just close your ears, is he worth it, and can he help the team win a Super Bowl? Is he the guy to win a Super Bowl? And since we're talking about dollars and cents, this is not a shocker if we jump to the NBA. Somehow trading cards, I shouldn't say somehow, because they always have had this lure for a lot of people, and there's been big prices on some particular cards. Kobe Bryant's rookie card, you remember he had the tragic helicopter accident, died with his daughter and friends, a handful of them. But anyway, his rookie card sold for $795 million late on Saturday. It was an online auction, and it was the 96-97 Topps Chrome Refractors 138 Kobe Bryant rookie card, specifically pristine condition, and they say it's just one of two in the world at its level of perfection. So, again, this is going to be going down a rabbit hole, but what does that mean? Perfection is so rare, and the card's condition had perfect tens. They rate it across the board, so it gets the black label recognition. And Golden Auctions hasn't released the name of the buyer that I'm aware of. And like I said, he was one of the most revered athletes before his death last year. He's a 5-time NBA champion. He died with his daughter Gianna and 7 others in that helicopter crash in January of 2020. He was just 41 years old, and within weeks of his death, really, his cards were everywhere online, and the value increased by like 600%. And it comes on the heels of a signed Tom Brady rookie card that sold for $1.32 million. That's the highest price paid for a football card, I believe. The previous record was $500,000. So, you know, go through your cards. I don't know if you have one of those pristine cards, but, you know, you never know. I've heard of people going to places and not knowing much about cards, you know, whether it's an antique store, which this would be rare, but they find cards somehow in the mix somewhere, and they're maybe not worth that amount of money, but they're worth some money. It's kind of like, in a different way, paintings, you know. So here we are, almost out of time, and I just want to say you can always hit me up, Kate at katedelaneyradio.com. Make it count, everybody. Hi, this is Kate Delaney, and I have a confession to make. I'm addicted to journaling. So many of the ideas I get from my radio show or books hit me at weird times, and I need to write them down. Does that happen to you? So I decided to create my own journal with my pal Jackie. Looking for a great gift for your wife, sister, mother, aunt, friend, or boss to end 2020 or kick off 2021? My girlfriend's gratitude journal includes inspirational quotes and loads of room to write, and it just dropped. Here's the best part. You'll also get a copy of my Forbes book, Deal Your Own Destiny. Increase your odds, win big, and become extraordinary. It's loaded with ways to chart your own life and filled with the success habits with some of the biggest names on the planet, stuff they shared with me that can help catapult you. Here's the best part. For both hardcover books, it's just $29.99. Yep, go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer. Again, all of it for just $29.99. I got the shipping covered. What are you waiting for? Just go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer today.